Today on Real Life Radio.
God sanctions war because God knows until the Prince of Peace returns, there's going to be wars. Does that make some sense? When you talk about, well, you know, wait a minute, Israel needs to kind of tone it down and be proportional. Who says such things? Those who are on the other side.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Do you often wonder about what the future might hold? Our current featured resource called The Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times offers an entertaining yet informative exploration through the bewildering world of end time prophecies, making this a perfect read for both the curious and the skeptical. The Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times is available for a gift of any amount on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
On today's very special edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now with his message called Israel, What's Next? It's a message we're breaking to as we consider Israel, Bible prophecy, and the global shift in times of war. You see, believe it or not, the current situation in Israel, it really isn't about Gaza. It's not even about the Palestinians who are being used by Islam. This is Bible prophecy forming as Israel will be forced to take greater actions. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that God has been building up Israel since she became a nation back in 1948, gathering her people from all four corners of the earth. Wars and rumors of war continue, but God will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. Now, with his special message called Israel, What's Next? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Genesis 12:4. So Abram departed as the Lord had commanded him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan, and Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the timber tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Pagan worshiping. They worshiped Ishtar and Zeus and all of these ancient Babylonian deities. They were there. Moloch, Remphan. All of these pagan deities. Listen, if you don't believe me, go to the British Museum of History. Or if you're in England, go to the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford University. What do you see? You see all of these pagan idols that are crafted and carved out, and then you see the museum's description. This is from the era of this BC period, and this artifact was found in Israel on such and such a date, excavation. We don't have blind faith as Christians. Our faith, listen, our faith is founded upon facts. You need to know that. Every Christian should ask, is that true? Did that really happen? And then get on that quest and find out. I interrupted myself. I get so excited over this topic. Verse 7, then the Lord answered Abram and said to him, go to your descendants and I will give this land. That's a promise. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Number 3, what is the origin of the Jewish people? Very simply, quickly put, Genesis 12, verse 2 says, I will make you a great nation, he says to Abraham. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Isn't that amazing? Here we are today in the 21st century, and we're talking about Abraham, and everybody in the world knows who Abraham is. Everybody. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's a messianic statement. Eventually through you, all the world will be blessed. It's not happening yet, but it's going to. Number 4 is this. What is the issue between the Jews and the Palestinians? Well, very quickly, we can't cover this in depth, but number 1, you heard the guy mention it, and I mentioned it before that guy, so I don't want to give him any credit. That is the emperor in Rome, Hadrian, renamed the land of Israel, Palestine. That's where it came from. He cites that he did that because he wanted to forever remind Israel of its ancient enemies, the Philistines. The etymology of the word Jew, it's quite fascinating. It comes from Abraham. But the word Jew is, listen, Jew, Hebrew, Israelite, they can all mean the same thing, but they don't always mean the same thing. You can be an Israeli atheist. Guess what? Listen. Are you listening?
Yes.
You can be an Israeli atheist that makes you not a Jew. But I'm a Jew. Do you believe in God? No, you can't be a Jew. Sorry, no Jew for you. I'm going to prove it. You can be Hebrew origin, Hebrew DNA, and not be a Jew. You say, Jack, I've never heard this before. Think. The etymology of the word Jew is from Judah. You hear words like Judy, Judith, Jude, Judah, Jew. Listen, the word Jew means to praise the one who praises God. That's why Paul, a Jew, both physically, DNA, and in actuality as a religion, truly, writes to the believers in Italy in the book of Romans, chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, and he says, he is not a Jew who has been circumcised outwardly, but he is a Jew who has been circumcised of the heart, not by a knife via man's hands, but by the Lord's hands. Glory. Now, when those believers in Italy heard that, they flipped out. They just absolutely loved that. Hey, I'm a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. And my Jewish friends know it. But they get it's so cute because they go, how do you know this? They'll say something and I'll go, yeah, that's Herzl said that. How do you know that? I thank God that the book of Isaiah says that God would graft in the Gentile to his great salvation. Wow. So the difference is this. The Jew is one who worships Yahweh. And I said a moment ago, kind of answered it already, but the word or the etymology to the word Palestine, Palestina, will eventually take you to Philistia, to Philistines, and it means invaders from the sea. People talk about the occupiers. You shouldn't talk like that anymore because you don't know what you're talking about. To say that Israel is the occupying force is to say that the Bible's not true. It's to say that God doesn't know what he's doing. It's to say that you do not believe in history, but you've chosen the narrative. Guys, on our notes, we have A and B. I forgot what they are, but we have A and B. So what is A and B on our notes?
Is that a reasonable, proportionate, and moral response by Israel?
There is some deep perversion in Britain whenever Israel is involved in a conflict, and it is the word you just used, proportion, proportionate, proportionality. Only Britain is really obsessed with this. I've heard it for the last few days incessantly. Proportionality in conflict rarely exists. But if we were to decide that we should have this fetish about proportionality, then that would mean that in retaliation for what Hamas did in Israel on Saturday, Israel should try to locate a music festival in Gaza, for instance, and good luck with that, should try to find a music festival in Gaza and rape precisely the number of women that Hamas raped on Saturday, kill precisely the number of young people that Hamas killed on Saturday. They should find a town of exactly the same size as a town like Sderot, where I've been many times myself, and make sure they go to door to door and kill precisely the correct number of babies that Hamas killed in Sderot on Saturday, and shoot in the head precisely the same number of old age pensioners as were shot in Sderot on Saturday, just to choose one town. Proportionality in conflict is a joke. And it's a very strange British concept which we've had, that only the Israelis in a conflict, when they are attacked, are expected to have precisely the proportionate response.
Wow. and somebody invades your home at 2 a.m. to rape your children and to rape your wife and to decapitate your head, you don't talk about, well, you know, how are you planning on doing this? You don't dialogue. What you hope is that you've got something stronger than he does to stop him from raping your children and your wife. It is not Christian to stand there and say, well, you know what? I guess I'll turn the other cheek while you rape my wife and kids. That is sick, that is derelict, and that's not taught in Scripture. When the Bible says we are to provide for our families, if we don't, it's worse than being an unbeliever. It means everything. Love, compassion, care, protection, food, roof. And if somebody seeks to destroy you, there is no Christianity of being passive. When somebody insults you, that's what it means about turning the other cheek. If somebody insults you, turn to them. Jesus said, the other cheek, let them insult you as well. If they smack you in the cheek with an insult, turn the other cheek. Don't worry about your reputation. Amen. God says, I got your reputation.
That's right.
To think otherwise is to say that soldiers that God leads into battle, David included, were all wrong. The Bible says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. Read it carefully. The Hebrew word kill is not there. It's murder. God sanctions war because God knows until the Prince of Peace returns, there's going to be wars. Does that make some sense? When you talk about, well, you know, wait a minute, Israel needs to kind of tone it down and be proportional. Who says such things? Those who are on the other side. Notice that when the bad guys are advancing, it's full blown. We're going to drive into the sea. We're going to kill you. We're going to destroy you. And then when you start losing, you yell for a ceasefire. I think that's called hudna. Ceasefire, ceasefire. It means this. Ceasefire, ceasefire. Reload, reload. Ceasefire, ceasefire. Quick, hurry, reload, reload. Look, war is tragic and it's horrible. Jesus said that they're going to come. And this is not the last one. But people, we need to have our faith in the Lord, very, very much so. Amen. Number five is this. Oh, there's another clip of something. I don't know. I forgot what it is.
I'm joined now by Musab Hassan Youssef. He's the author of Son of Hamas. And he joins us live. You know, your father was a founding member of Hamas, and you were groomed to take a leadership position. Eventually, you converted to Christianity, rejected their political and military objectives. Why did you do that?
Well, for the simple reasons that we see right now in Gaza, that Hamas does not care about the lives of Palestinians, does not care about the lives of Israelis or Americans. Mm-hmm. They don't care about their own lives. They consider dying for the sake of their ideology a way of worship. And how can you continue in that society?
Okay. I'll ask you the same question I asked my last guest. Can you coexist with someone whose mission is your destruction?
Well, Hamas is not seeking coexistence and compromise. Hamas is seeking conquest and taking over. And by the way, Israel, the destruction of the state of Israel is not Hamas' final destination. Mm-hmm. Hamas' final destination is building the Islamic Khilafah, which means an Islamic state on the rubble of every other civilization. Mm-hmm. These are the ultimate goals of the movement.
Musab, you say in your book that Hamas targets civilians as a tool of war. Tell us about the Hamas that you know from growing up in the West Bank.
Well, in the mosques, Hamas taught us that without shedding innocent blood for the sake of the ideology, we wouldn't be able to build an Islamic State. They were preparing us from the age as young as 5 years old. This is the ideology that Hamas was feeding us. And honestly, it's impossible almost for anybody to break through and see the truth of and real face of Hamas and be able to leave at some point. As you see in my case, I had to lose everything just to say no to Hamas. And today, when I look at the children of Gaza, and I know what they are fed, I know that they have no choice.
Yeah. Mousav, thank you.
That's powerful, huh? Did you hear that? Were you able to hear that? Very, very powerful. Number five, real quick. Why is the existence of Israel in the Jews such a big deal? It's interesting to me that the first 24 hours of the attack of Israel, when live stream and many other things went out, almost the entire world sentiment was for Israel. And then as communities began to have Palestinian protests, people's comments began to change. So it seems to me that we are now more prone to bend with what's trending in the wind for fear. Seems as though COVID might have prepared us for that. This is phase two, by the way. Churches in America were tested with COVID and how they viewed it and approached it and took care of their flocks and obeyed the word of God. This is now, I'm not a prophet, I'm just making a guess that this next issue right now happening is going to divide more and more churches in America, and so be it. Let it happen, because when churches say, you know, Israel's not important and it's not a big deal, and we're talking about coexistence. You cannot have coexistence. Because the one that's attacking you wants your annihilation, and they declared it. Yes. Coexistence is when a believer and an atheist live next door as neighbors, and they mow each other's lawns and bake each other's cookies. That's coexistence. But if the unbeliever wants to poison cookies and kill me, that's not coexistence. We need to wake up.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
All of a sudden, the tide is changing and the world is going against Israel. It's Israel's fault. China said it's America's fault this week. Xi Jinping said it's America's fault. You know, it's kind of weird, though. I kind of agree with them in a minute, because none of this stuff was happening under the Abraham Accords. I'm not making a political statement, and I'll just say, I don't know who I'm going to vote for in 2024 if people keep talking and saying the wrong things. But let me say this. You didn't think of ISIS for 4 years. You never even heard of them. The guy that was supposed to usher in World War III was the only president in the last 18 years where there was no war. Why? Because when you're strong, bad guys back up. Every guy in the room knows this. That was not a tip on how to vote. I am not happy with anything right now. I'm just saying this. Israel's existence... Listen, they're the only democracy, freedom-loving politic in the region, but that is besides the point. The existence of Israel and the Jew, if they ever cease to exist, then God's word has failed. He is not the God he said he was, and you have no eternal life. But don't worry. But don't worry. It's not us believing in him that makes him true. I want to make that clear. He's true if you believe in him or not. And he is God. He's eternal. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 says, "Behold the proud, his soul's not right or upright within him, but the just shall live by faith." Hebrew prophet Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. Genesis 15 verse 6. "And he believed in the Lord, and God accounted it to him for righteousness." Abraham. Psalm 14, verse 7. "On that, the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad." Israel, God is your Messiah. God is your salvation. By the way, that's true for everybody. But he started by revealing himself to Israel. And he will finish by revealing himself to Israel. Psalm 53, verse 6. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When God brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Sounds very much like Psalm 14. Genesis 22, 18. In your seed, descendants, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Psalm 22, verse 27. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. That is interesting. All the ends of the world. That's non-Jews. Shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before me, before you, the Lord. Isaiah 49, verse 6. You guys okay? I'm going fast. Okay, we're still ahead of time. So I saw people looking at the clock. We're ahead of normal time. Okay? Isaiah 49, 49, 6? Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. Go after service today and find how many times Israel appears in your Bible or Palestine. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, Jack. It says Jack right there in small print, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. They're going to fulfill that, by the way, during the 7-year tribulation period. They're going to fulfill that passage. The Jews will be a bunch of Billy Grahams and Paul the Apostles all wrapped up into one. Can you imagine? You're going to just, man, there's going to be Jews running around telling the world the good news of that God saves. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine Paul the Apostle with the internet? What if Paul the Apostle had a Twitter page? Look what he did and he didn't have any of that. Isn't it amazing? The guy preached to the known world and he didn't have a plane. Can you imagine? Okay, here we go. Where are you going? I'm going to preach to the ends of the earth. But that's what he did. Jesus never traveled more than 200 miles. Paul the Apostle, I forget the number, but it's in the thousands and thousands of miles. 2,000 years ago. Daniel 7, verse 14. Then to him was given dominion. This is of the Messiah. And glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. This is what's coming, people, in the future. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall never pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall never be destroyed. That's the team I'm playing for. Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light. He's speaking about Israel. And kings to the brightness of your rising. God is doing a work. I know it looks horrible right now. And according to the Bible, according to the scriptures, there's terrible days ahead. But Israel will never cease to exist. God says so.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his special message called Israel. What's next? Thanks for listening today. And our prayer is that the war in Israel, as it relates to end times events, is a wake-up call for all of us, that Jesus is truly the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Won't you come to Jesus today? We sincerely hope you do. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Now, of course, a lot of us want to keep up with the war in Israel, get some good and accurate information, and we have a lot of updates coming from people that are really quite knowledgeable in this area. Pastor Jack, Amir Sarfati, Jan Markell, Barry Stagner, and more. Now, these updates will be available on the Real Life Network. Sign up for free at reallifenetwork.com. What exactly is Real Life Network? Well, it's a streaming service that brings you the best in cancel-free Christian and conservative content. You really should sign up at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. What is the ultimate point and purpose of Bible prophecy? Is it to scare us or prepare us? There's a special book by the prophecy pros, Jeff Kinley and Tom Hampston, that breaks it all down and makes it real simple, answering questions like, why are there different interpretations of prophetic Bible scriptures? How do we know which is correct? When it comes to symbolic prophecies, how do we decide to interpret them literally or metaphorically? The Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times simplifies difficult and confusing aspects of last days prophecy using easy-to-understand language, diagrams, images, and statistics. If you've ever been unsure about the purpose, the context, or timeline of end times prophecy, let the Prophecy Pros put your mind at ease with this practical and informative guide. A copy of the Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times will be sent to you when you donate to the Ministry of Real Life today. Get your copy at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.